AEW?
Yagi?
Indeed. You're actually getting the back lobe of it right now, but I'm getting some good results.
No change. Perfect signal. You're doing the same thing I was doing a minute ago, eating the mic a little too much.
Balance right, but I was able to hit Greenwood and Lawrence with an HT from up here.
More uptowns you can get. Sounds good.
I was quite surprised. There's a couple others. There's some mountains in the way towards Pickens and Oconee and stuff, but anything south and to the east, I'm pretty much good with.
That is fine. What's your elevation?
Old rock, so I think this is about 1,800, 2,000 feet. Maybe a little more, because I'm just below Caesar's Head.
You're up there pretty good. So, you're doing well, and you can't get around the mountains when you're talking VHF or UHF, unless you get a little tropospheric propagation. Oh, I'm talking to my nephew, and I think he's at 8,000 feet in Colorado, but I'm just texting him back and forth. He's an American Airlines pilot.
Nice work. Very nice work.
He's a captain on a 787.
Seven, all four stripes. Man, that's impressive.
As far uptowns you can get. He ain't going hungry, put it that way. He just bought 32 acres on top of that mountain.
Steve and I met a guy on top of White Oak Mountain who's a retired pilot, and he let us stand in his yard while we did the testing for that bike race. We were trying to make sure that we were running the route with cars, and he was operating a base on top of the mountain. And so this pilot owned this beautiful plot of land, very top of the mountain, gorgeous view. I wouldn't call it a cabin. It was a super nice place. So he was retired, and he just wanted somebody to hang out with for the afternoon. So he let us camp out in his front yard.
That's nice. That's real people. Well, Steve's that way, too. He's an old farm boy from Kansas, and he started out in the small planes and then graduated to C-130s in the Air Force. And then he's got two more years, well, about a year and a half to go with American. He's been with them since 1991, and he still runs bike races. I'd hate to guess how much that bicycle cost, but I know it was well over 10 grand. And I got another friend that shares a manager of Aldi's down here in Taylor's, and he's got one of those bikes similar to that, carbon fiber and all. And I know they're going to run a bike race down in Arkansas here in a couple of months, and his brother is our nephew, and he's a medical scientist, and he's going to go down there and run a 50-mile race. But Steve's wife, that's the pilot, she just had a heart transplant. And Steve and her are going to run a 100-mile bike race. And that's impressive.
Incredibly impressive. I did a lot of biking in my late 20s. Back once I got out of college, got out on my own, and was trying to get my life together. I would bike, not much, like 15, 20 miles a night. But it was a good way to kind of reset my brain and my body. And, you know, it's an incredibly good exercise. It doesn't have the pounding on your joints the way jogging does.
Adverse effects. This is N0TR. And the old boy down at Aldi's that I know, Carlton, he come around the corner up there in the Blue Ridge Parkway up in Virginia, and he got blowed off the road, and he wound up with 20 screws in his collarbone.
Is an incredibly painful and debilitating injury, collarbone is.
I said, I heard you got 28 screws there now, and he says, no, just 20, Tom. he's kind of a workaholic, I'll tell you. But he, excuse me, he goes out and does those races all over the place. And Steve, I know for years when he'd come home to the farm in Kansas, he'd have his mom take him out to the highway because you can't run those skinny little tires on the dirt roads. And he'd ride 50 miles every time. I just can't imagine riding a bicycle that far. But I guess they're pretty incredible now. Mike, the other nephew, he's going to do the dirt one on that race down in Arkansas, and it's on a mountain bike.
A lot more variables there. I had a buddy I worked with years ago. He was a mountain biker, and he was jumping around and showing off, and ended up breaking his jaw on a landing, went over the handlebars. So the off-road stuff can be a little more hairy, but you don't have to deal with traffic. So I guess, you know, there's that.
I'll tell you, they kill a motorcyclist at least once a week, usually. I worked at a hospital my last year before I retired, and the surgeons called them donor cycles. And don't get me wrong, Ben, I love motorcycles, but I just wouldn't have one down here. I think he was from Hendersonville or someplace right locally here the other day. It's been about 2 days ago, and he was a captain in the fire department, so he managed people, and got hit by a car, or hit a car, I don't know which one, but it killed him. That just happened.
Oh gosh, I hate that. We got a lot of motorcycles and bicycles around here, and at least the people on the motorcycles obey the traffic laws. It's the cyclists that I see running stop signs and going between cars and acting up, you know, like they own the road and the laws don't apply to them. And but it's usually the motorcycle people who, you know, they're a lot more careful and they actually obey the traffic laws.
TR. Yeah, it can go either way. Some do, some don't. I saw these idiots up on Wade Hampton here at Highway 101 dodging in between cars and around cars and just doing crazy things in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And there was one killed down here at St. Mark Road a couple of years ago, and it's just up there on Wade Hampton, and they said he was running over 100 miles an hour. The horsepower to weight ratio now, compared to my days, is just astounding. My neighbor bought one here a few years ago, and it was a Suzuki, you know. And, well, I'm not sure. It wasn't a Hayabusa, but it was one of the faster bikes. And I know he was up here on 25, and he said, yeah, don't tell my wife, but I was running 148 miles an hour with it. You can do it very easily, but you can also die very easily. If you hit a nail or blow a tire at that speed, they'd be picking up pieces of you for a mile down the road. Well, Ben, I got to run down to the restroom down the hall because this Lasix tells me I need to go. Nice talking to you this afternoon. KL4ZEW N0TR 73.
For the radio checks, and don't run, but get to the bathroom on time. KO4ZEW, I will be monitoring off and on.
Monitor.
W, go ahead, calling station.
KM4GLI, how you doing today?
Good. I'm actually up on top of Bald Rock, testing out a dual band Yagi, and I'm actually getting Caesar's head on my back lobe of the antenna. So, pretty interesting testing going on.
Pounding in here, so this will be this.
I would think I am maybe a mile from this repeater. But as I said, I'm on a Yagi, so I'm hitting it on the back lobe, but I'm still close. It doesn't surprise me.
real good. A mile, you should get it, that's for sure. I've got a Yagi down here, too, the other direction, but it's turning back.
Hey, are you the one camping up at Cradle of Forestry for the summer? This is Ben, KO4ZEW.
Yes, I'm one of the volunteers up here at the Cradle of Forestry. I come up in April and leave in about the middle of November, so having a great time up here.
Okay, yeah, we've talked a few times, and I'm testing out my field rig, and, you know, one of my steps, another couple of tests down the road, and I'll be up there hanging out with you.
Yeah,
I'm doing real well. I said I'm on top of Bald Rock, right close to Caesar's Head, and with this Yagi, I'm hitting pretty much everything in Spartanburg, and I've got as far as Greenwood and Lawrence on a handy talkie.
Okay, what, you got a little Mofang, or you got it with something else?
Okay, I'm cheating. I've got a Quansheng K6, but I'm running it through a 30-watt 2-meter amplifier run on a 12-volt LifePo battery.
Got a whole lot and so forth. You see this, the new one that's out now, I've forgotten what its brand it is, but it does 6 and 10 meter and two meter and 70 centimeter.
A handy talkie. What brand?
Don't know. It starts with an R, and I don't know what it is. It comes with two antennas on it, and I'm kind of looking at that thing. It's just getting ready to be released soon.
Heard about it. I do want to have one of the Radtel 860s, which has, it's a dual band, but has a second antenna port that you can do HF receive. And the HF receive is 10 through 80, really, depending on the antenna you put on it. So it's receive only on HF, but yeah, it's very cool that you have the dual band walkie-talkie and then the HF receive / scanner all in the same handheld.
Yeah, I hadn't read a lot about it yet. I just saw myself online about it, but that sounds like what it is. But I was thinking it might transmit on 6 meter and 10 meter, but I don't think it does. If it did, you know, it wouldn't have any sideband capability.
If there's a new model, it might transmit on 6 and 10. But I said I'm not sure which one it is you're referring to.
Sure is. I just saw something online about it. I'm running a little CYT9800 here that does a good job. I was lucky, got one of the good ones, I guess. But it's doing a pretty good job for me.
The exact same model, the TYT9800, I run one in the car and one as a base station. And I love them. For an analog unit, they do what I want, and it's not too many features to try to juggle while you're driving either.
This one, because it's got a remote that separates, it has a remote that you can put elsewhere and so forth. So I'm in an RV, so I got the remote here by the radio now, but I can move it.
Yeah, I've got the remote head mounted on the dashboard just below my my radio display, XM radio display, and then I have the main unit underneath the driver's seat. So I do love those removable remote heads. That's kind of like now a requirement for me for a mobile unit.
Yeah, me too. I like that a lot. I've got a little V-Tech in my truck and so forth, 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and this thing's work good. It's got great ears on it, man. I mean, I can pick up things great on it. It's 25 watts, it does pretty good.
Most of the stuff around here, you know, if I do Paris Mountain 820 or South Carolina Hearts, anything out of Greenville, I run low power. Caesar's Head, I run the mid power, 25 watts. And then if I want to hit like Sassafras Mountain or things that are farther out, then I'll bump it up to 50.
Works good. It's a good area for ham radio here. I've been doing this for about 7 years up here, and I guess it could hit the 145, 190 real easy, but just I move locations, and I don't hit it much anymore. It depends on the weather.
190, is that Mount Mitchell or is that the Oconee UCARS repeater?
Just, I've got a lot of trees and mountains in the way between me and Mount Mitchell, so sometimes I can hit it, sometimes I can't.
Okay, when I get off the horn with you, I'm going to point this thing towards Mount Mitchell. I think I tested it earlier. I broke squelch, but I didn't, like, really make an attempt. But I'm going to pull out my compass, point it in that direction, and see if I can actually pull a QSO if anyone's listening on Mount Mitchell.
So I'm listening on that channel, too, so I'll listen for you when you do that.
But right now, so you might hear me within the next minute. Yeah, I appreciate the test. I'm going to rotate this thing, tune the radio, and then call out. W, clear.